All right. Yeah. So as I was saying off pod, is there a reason, getting back to Tom DeLonge, which I can't believe after the intellectual discussion we had, I can't believe we're talking about the lead singer of a 90s punk band that wore banana suits in a music video. But Tom DeLonge was speaking to really high level people that had information allegedly about UFOs and what was really happening with aliens. You said there's reason to believe that that was misinformation. What proof do we have?
So if you notice the trend, all of these like military whistleblowers on TV in Senate hearings that we're having now,
yeah,
are all ending with the notion that whatever's going on, it's a threat. And so when you start to see repetition, that's where the program resides.
Sure, sure, of course.
So they're all saying it's a threat. And there was a prophecy laid down by an ex-Nazi scientist by the name of Wernher von Braun, who we employed after the war to be one of the first
people. Of course, worked on the bomb. Or NASA, I'm sorry.
Yeah, worked with NASA alongside occultist Parsons, Jack Parsons. And so Wernher von Braun apparently stated to some of his students, and one woman in particular, I forget her name, but she's got a bunch of videos online, told her that in time we would create the false idea that aliens are a threat.
And what would be the reason?
To, again, just shuffle us into a one world government, one world system.
Is that to build up, military, the military apparatus?
Yeah, I think it's, again, to just get us to be indoctrinated into accepting that, accepting the need for a one world militaristic system.
Do you think that's feasible though? You know, we're going to war against, you know, we're supporting, you know, a proxy war, Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, we seem to be splitting up. Like globalization didn't work.
Yeah.
Like part, you know, the globalists are really, what they're talking about is neoliberalists. They're people that, you know, run corporations and think tanks and government that said at the beginning of the 70s, it's better if there's trade everywhere in the world. It's better if everybody kind of speaks English and operates off these free market capitalist principles and all kind of has one culture, one way of doing democracy. And now we're all giving up. Iran is kicking it with Saudi Arabia and they're turning on Israel. Like everybody's going back to having their segments of the world. Yeah. We've rejected globalization. So just to, I don't know, plays devil's advocate. Like, I don't think the globalists are winning. I think it's becoming a less global world.
Yeah, no, honestly, I agree too. I don't think they're winning and I don't think they ever really were going to win. Just even speaking prophetically, you know, all the prophecies around the world speak of these people attempting this and failing, you know, and it's the oldest tale, even as we were just saying too, about like the Tower of Babel, you know, Babylon was attempting to, you know, unify the world in this one world system and then they failed and God scattered us all, you know? So,
it sounds like a good thing on its face, unifying the world.
And that's always the lie they sell us. You know, and
I mean, unifying the world in what? Peace? That would be a good thing.
Yeah. But I think the idea of world peace is kind of like just a fantasy.
Interesting. Okay. How so?
Well, I mean,
it might be because people are flawed, but don't you think that's an ideal?
It's an ideal.
Strive for?
Oh yeah. I think it's an ideal we should strive for sure. And I think we can be peaceful. I think for sure we can be peaceful and we should. But we have a lot of growing up to do as a human race before we reach that level of cooperation.
Well, we're more peaceful now in many ways than we ever have been, especially in modern times.
I would agree. At the micro, there's still a lot of disgusting things happening, even within families, you know, like even within families, there are still traumas being repeated played out.
So yeah.
I think the macro, we're kind of getting there. But ultimately, if the micro is not strong, you know, if the families aren't strong, if our communities aren't strong, then eventually that's going to funnel up. And
what does the one world government, one world system do to the family? Does it get rid of the family?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They've been doing that. And the globalists and internationalists have spoken on that over the years, over the decades, that they've wanted to slowly break that up over the years for that exact reason. It's easier to sell and market to children and women when the man is not, you know, taking charge in the home.
Yeah. But if you don't want to have children, I'm a contrarian. So yeah. I'm always looking for holes in the arguments of conspiracy theorists or theories. If it's a big conspiracy, if it's a big plot to control the world and sell everybody, like I'm just assuming the world's run by capitalists, people that want to sell you shit. So why would it be a conspiracy to get rid of the world's people if that's the market that's buying? Or maybe the world's not controlled by capitalists. Maybe it's much more sinister than that. I like to think maybe it'd be better if it was controlled by capitalism, you know, but maybe it's controlled really by people that want tyranny over all else, over a free market.
I think it's actually much more simple than that. I think the world is ran by people and people can suck.
Yeah.
And so I like to look at the macro. I like to understand the macro by looking at the micro, you know, and all the people that are running the world today, who we know and we don't know, are just people. And if we understand people on a small level, then we can understand people at a big level. You know, I grew up, you know, Southern California, around a lot of gang and thug territory, and it's no different at the micro level. People want to be the head honcho. People want to be in charge. You know, we got people out here fighting over streets.
What about 9/11 taking a hard pivot? Do you have anything on that? Is it even worth talking about? Is the reality so awful? Is that false flag?
9/11? Oh, man. What happened at 9/11? So I was in third grade when that happened.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, I don't know how, but I just knew that it was like a questionable thing.
Wow. Even at that age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on like Bob Marley, Pink Floyd, Hendrix, and all the classic hip hop and stuff. So I don't know. I just always had that like critical independent thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I knew though. I just knew that George Bush was like just whack and like questionable.
Of course. I think we all did.
Yeah.
But to do something like that,
yeah,
I think requires a lot more than George Bush.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's like he couldn't pull off, you know, they couldn't, you couldn't pull off the assassination of the president without, you know, some real smart minds behind it. So
yeah,
9/11, if you were to, you know, if you were to say that that was an inside job, I mean, you'd probably keep Bush out of it, if anything.
Oh yeah. I don't think Bush was like an integral part of that, man.
I think he probably didn't know if it went down. I don't think there's any way they would have let that moron.
Oh dude, for sure.
Know that it was going to happen.
Like, the whole thing was just insane, dude. The craziest thing about it was the literal moment when it happened. He was like reading to the kids. You've seen that video?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, that's just like insane. I don't know that. Like, he's literally reading to children and they're saying, plane, hit, steal, plane, hit, like repeating it.
Yeah.
A moment, it's happening. So I feel like there's...
But that's not a thing you really, you know, being into conspiracies and, you know, alternative study.
Yeah.
Is 9/11 something that you really take a deep interest in or no?
Oh, yeah. I'm very fascinated with it, but I haven't studied it deeply myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have no conclusion right now, man. It could have been, it really could have been, you know, people from the Middle East with certain interests. You know, it could have been, man. Really could have been just that. But
yeah, I think the question is, I mean, it was definitely like I can't for the life of me wrap my mind around. You know, you talk to a guy like Sam Tripoli, and he's going to tell you that wasn't a commercial airliner.
Yeah.
Like that was, you know, if you watch the documentary, they'll try to show that it was actually a military plane. And I don't know. I'm of the thought, you know, you study what the CIA has done.
Yeah.
And it's much more simple than that.
Yeah.
Like the CIA uses extremists and drug dealers and jihadists. You know, it's like mind games that they play. They don't need to hire a bunch of actors, actors to put on a plane to act like they were on a plane that got hijacked. They don't need to do that. They can, you know, it's deep cover within deep cover. CIA has layers and layers and layers of deniability.
Yeah.
So I think that they've been involved in shit like this for years. I mean, it's verifiable that they topple governments using events like 9/11 externally. So yeah, it would kind of, you know, it would kind of stand to reason that they could do that on American soil as well.
Yeah, actually, in the documentary that I referenced earlier on the Committee of 300, there was, during the internationalist movement, there was an early push for an international psychology movement, a movement of international psychologists. And one of the early international psychological organizations was that of the Tavistock Clinic. And the man's name escapes me, but the man who started it, who's in my documentary, he actually was a World War veteran, World War I and II, I believe, and he was a medical officer. And he started this Tavistock Clinic as a clinic at first, but he saw so much at war, and he realized that when the mind is traumatized, you can program it to believe certain things in that sweet spot moment.
Right.
And he later realized during peacetime that he wanted to build a global movement of global psychologists who could slowly influence the world together for better or for worse. Using those same tactics that he learned in war, during war. And so getting to what you were just saying, yeah, it's these different organizations, the CIA and stuff like that, man, they've been using this science behind the subconscious mind, identity dissociative disorder.
Right, which MK is
what? MKUltra.
MKUltra, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the MKUltra experiments, which were primarily conducted through the usage of LSD.
Yes, right.
We're trying to tap into that idea of being able to break the compartments of the mind.
Right.
And slip in certain programs into the subconscious.
Right.
That then the person would believe and act out. It's the same science that hypnotists use.
Right, right.
So, of course, you know, upper echelons of science and the military industrial complex got their hands on this science and have used it on us and certain, you know.
Well, that's the conspiracy that the CIA or whoever... you know, Sirhan, who killed Robert F. Kennedy here in Los Angeles, the theory is that he was programmed. He was programmed basically in the method, you know, the MK Ultra method. He was programmed by, I don't know, by the CIA, I guess, right? To go kill.
Yeah.
If you watch Zoolander with they steal that from Zoolander, right? They programmed Derek Zoolander to go kill the president of, you know, Panama or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's speaking out against sweatshops. So that's Ted Kaczynski. Okay, what is that? What? Oh, really?
No way. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, the Unabomber. So,
yeah.
I mean, wow, that's... So the idea is we can... And then, of course, it backfired a little bit, the MK, the history of...
Oh, yeah.
Because the hippies got a hold of it and...
Yeah, and then we like opened up our minds to a certain extent.
It failed. See, the globalists failed. Or
took
whoever.
The forbidden fruit. They gave us the forbidden fruit.
Right.
LSD.
Right, right.
You know, but going back to 9/11, I mean, it's a fascinating thing, man. And Jim Mars does a great job of breaking it down. R.I.P. Jim Mars. He was like a conspiracy writer. Real astute, like historian, though, when it comes to this stuff. And yeah, I mean... There's definitely a lot going on there, man. Like they had like a an insurance policy on the towers that like was pulled
that
like
we
the
got
day
pulled
after.
Like, yeah, it's so crazy. Dude. It's almost like that was a, what do you call it? When the CIA, it's like a throw off.
Yeah.
It's almost like they wanted us to know that. It's so obvious. This guy sold his insurance policy on the building.
Yeah. And then
a
after
week
that,
before the towers fell.
Yeah, and then we the Patriot Act and all that stuff shortly after.
Totally.
So I feel like it was like a myriad of things going on, and whoever the Middle Eastern men were that were part of this were probably patsies, MKUltra patsies.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, it's when Oswald said, I'm a patsy after shooting Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Like, But what about bin Laden though? Didn't Al Qaeda and bin Laden take credit?
The crazy thing from what I understand is bin Laden's parents were business associates with Prescott Bush.
Wow. Is that right?
Grandfather Bush. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, yeah, they airlifted the bin Ladens immediately out of the U.S. But their grandparents would have been dead by then, by 2001. Because Prescott Bush, this goes back to the early 20th century.
Yeah, so the Bush and bin Laden's got some dealings going on.
Yeah.
You know, I think they kind of just used him in the end, you know, as a part of this weird, you know, game. You know, just
do you know about Watergate? I mean, we talk about the Bushes.
A little bit. That was Nixon, right?
That was Nixon. Yeah. And you know, when Nixon, if you go listen to his, like one of his parting speeches, he doesn't explicitly say it, but he says, there are deeper forces at work here. He's talking about the CIA. He's talking about the deep state.
Oh yeah.
They're the ones. And who was running the CIA at the time? George Bush. And they had a beef against Nixon because he had fucked them over a decade earlier when they were trying to run George Bush for president. Nixon had done something. He had betrayed them somehow. Yeah. They're a very vindictive family, but their ties in intelligence go back to the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Very beginning.
The beginning.
It's funny too, because people would say that George Bush Jr. is like not intelligent.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like this weird, like, just playing the fool kind of thing.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that might be the end of the line. I think that was the end of the line.
He didn't get the genes.
He didn't get, exactly. But they ran it for over a half a century. It was Prescott Bush. And then his son, George, carried it all the way as far as he could go. You know,
you ever watched the movie Vice?
Yeah.
The movie Vice. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I think it's a great portrayal of like Dick Cheney and Bush's like,
for sure. Relationship.
That was Cheney's presidency, man.
Of course.
For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying when I say, you know, people run the world. Like, going back to the manifestation thing, you know, we all have the capability to go out there and become somebody huge, somebody big. Maybe not a president, because that's a whole nother political realm, you know, that you got to really be like in the club to eventually move up. But it's all clubs, it's all organizations, it's all who you know. You know, like, I mean, we've become people with ourselves and with our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, and shit, I've even been called a Freemason at this point.
Like, yeah.
Some people think that I'm a Freemason or whatever, but I'm just a person who's making use of their body, their mind, and their life. Mm-hmm. And so anybody out here has the capability of getting up into these upper echelons of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it just happens that the people that are at the top right now are at the top because they're the ones who did it.
Yeah.
You know, but we can take out Musk, we can take out Bezos if we had a dope enough idea. But at this point, it's going to be really hard, obviously, because they're like way, way, way up there. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying when I say these things, man. It's like everybody thinks that the people who run the world are covert. I think they're overt. Mm-hmm. The people that are running the world are right in front of our face. They're doing it right in front of our face every day. And we enjoy it. We partake in it. We know that we are partaking in it.
Right. But there are covert forces, hence the deep state.
Absolutely.
Right. And people, you know, that's been conflated with, like, you know, conspiracy theorism and, you know, oh, what the deep state, or do you like Trump? You know, they've done a masterful job, the propaganda of, you know, making the deep, well, the name deep state, implies conspiracy.
Yeah.
But it used to just be called the man, the military industrial complex, the marriage of politicians with big business, and with the Pentagon. Like, that's, you know, you're a fucking retard if you can't see the triangle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think's coming? Do you think, you know, I was listening to, you know, Alex Jones thinks that, if Trump gets the nomination, he's going to get assassinated before he can take office.
I mean, dude, it could definitely happen. But real quick, actually, I just remembered something. When it goes, going back to the internationalists, these men, dude, these early internationalists, mm-hmm. they saw the world changing. Mm. they saw it before everybody else did. In the late 19th and early 20th century, they realized that we were shifting from an agricultural, agricultural
state. No, they weren't going, that was 10,000 years ago when we went from hunter-gatherer to agriculture. You mean from industrial to
technological? Yes, already out of the agricultural, but moving from that early industrial into the age of technology
right
now.
Right.
These early internationalists realized that the world was changing again.
Yeah.
And that there was an opportunity for globalizations.
Yeah.
And they still say this today. Henry Kissinger, one of the more infamous globalists who's a mentor to Klaus Schwab.
Right.
has a book literally titled The New World Order. And he's always saying that. He's always saying we have an opportunity for globalization in this event and this and that or whatever. But these early internationalists realized that the world was shifting and they were ahead of the curve. Mm. They're like, hey, if we band together now and start creating these networks, these organizations, then as the world shifts, we can keep ourselves at the top. And so that's what we've been dealing with. We've been dealing with these strong associations, these strong bonded government, military industrial complex organizations that have already created that bond 50 years ago, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be hard to take them out or hard to even get into the deeper history that they've been a part of, but it's not impossible. It just takes a slow churn, you know?
I don't see it happening because if, you know, everybody wants a piece of the pie now, like it could have been possible back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because America, Europe was leveled. All of our enemies were dead. You know, one in four Russians died. Think about that. 25% of Russia died during World War II. So there was nobody to challenge the U.S.
Yeah.
If Kennedy had lived, he made that speech at the College of the Americas and said, the Russians aren't evil. The Russians aren't evil. Listen to Eisenhower. If we had took his word, we had heeded his word, we had the power to lay down arms, to say, no more empire. This is, we're going to move, we're going to hold hands and move forward together as, you know, a humankind, right? Yeah. Whether that would have worked or not, who knows, but it would have been a lot better than what happened.
Yeah.
Kennedy got popped and then the world changed for the worst. But now it's like, you can't, I don't think the U.S. can just be like, hey, we're just going to go home.
Yeah.
That's what the British did. The British just said, hey, we're after World War II. They were like, we're done with our empires. We got to focus on home. Australia can do that, because if America stands down, look who you have left. You got some really, really evil. Evil's a subjective. You have some really, really anti-democratic, not nice people that want that spot.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of have to have, you could say, we're going to do whatever we want, whatever we can to prevent war. That you could do. You could figure out a way to try to pass laws that don't let the government just keep printing money that they can give to the military. Right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I don't know. We fucked over so many people that if we don't have a military, they're going to be like, it's our shot, dude. We got so many enemies. We got to stay strapped now.
Yeah.
You know? And what I think in 100 years, I think once the population does collapse, I think that's probably I think the world will naturally fall into a state of chaos again. Mm-hmm. And that's where there will be kind of a resetting, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, I agree. it's wild right now. You know, there's definitely a void happening, a void that's being created for power.
Yeah.
And we're going to see and witness who's going to take that position. And here at home in America, you know, we're very divided culturally, you know, and we're having record low numbers of people joining the army and stuff like that. And
which you could argue, in my opinion, that's like a good, I don't know, man. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's a good thing that you don't have, I don't know. They're just going to create robots.
Yeah. Eventually the robots will do all the fighting, hopefully, you know, but what I did want to say is, I think it's important to choose our battles in this life. You know what I mean? Like, we can't fix everything. We can't help everybody, you know? So for some people, their battle is literally going to be fighting in the army, if that's what they believe. Mm. You know, some people's battle is going to be spending their entire life fighting cancer,
yeah.
You know? And so
I don't think anybody will fight in the army anymore if they're really of that consciousness. I don't think anybody will.
Yeah. A lot of people are starting to wake up and realize that they're fighting for useless causes, you know, but it's like, damn, dude, are they really useless when we have like real people, like, I guess, real enemies or people we can consider enemies that do want to see us fall? But I think the wars are being fought more intelligently now too. You know, like China's got all kinds of stakes in the U.S. in property, in business, all kinds of things. So I think the wars are being fought intelligently, and it's not just about, oh, let's go take over a country. It's like, how can we take over the culture?
That's what it is. And that's what they say TikTok is, right? That's that's a very, very tactical, long-term thinking plan to, you know, dumb down the United States. And that's more effective than war, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to make an entire generation of kind of unthinking robots.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's people in the government in Silicon Valley that welcome that. They're like, we need to become more like China in order to fight them. You're like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Integration. You know, it's like, it goes back to the good and evil thing. It's like,
dorks got to get beat up, bro. Dorks have to get beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
Or else they form companies like Facebook, you know, they're able to like hold sway. Like, only a dork, only a nerd, only somebody that truly hated life would want to make us Chinese, make us into China, rather. Yeah. I know a lot of cool Chinese, but to make it, to want people to live in a society like the one in which the Chinese Communist Party runs theirs, that's somebody who hates life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it goes back to the idea. It's like, when people aren't awake to like just enjoying life and realizing that they can enjoy life, like, they start going off these crazy tangents. And yeah, some of these dudes like Bezos or whatever, they have villain stories, right? They always like make that joke, like, oh, they got a villain origin story. And that's a true thing, man. Some people go through something when they're a kid, get made fun of or whatever, and then become this villain because they couldn't handle it.
Right. Also, maybe we shouldn't be beating up the nerds, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I say we should, but they should learn how to handle it, you know?
Right, they should. yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like, I grew up, you know, I grew up getting beat up, whatever, you know, and you learn how to take a punch and learn that sometimes you are an idiot. You know what I mean? Sometimes you are an idiot. Sometimes you are being whack or lame, and you need to be put in your place but know that it's coming from a brotherly love thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, hey, man, like,
right.
You know, just letting you know that you got to chill out.
Yeah. I think that having it rough and getting slapped around or being incarcerated or whatever it is, it makes you humble. I don't think people that want to take over the world have ever been humbled. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Like, I don't think that motivates people. I think being spoiled, people actually grow up to want to dominate and control. Yeah. I do. I think, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, Adolf Hitler's who was rejected from an art school. And I mean, it's kind of a aberration because he came up, I don't think there's a lot of people like that. I think
the new face
of evil is people that are like the fucking, who's that guy from the Sandy country, Saudi Arabia, the prince who's been spoiled ever since he's had slaves, virtual slaves working for him ever since he was a kid.
Yeah,
that's who I fear.
It's some people, like, it's both spectrums, really, because it's people who are super spoiled and sometimes people who had it rough. Like, it's interesting you brought up Hitler because he did have this weird thing with his dad.
Yeah.
Apparently his dad was humiliated and that, like, set him off into, like, hating
Jews.
And
how was his dad humiliated?
I don't remember the exact story, but it had something to do with him. It, like, really traumatized him as a kid.
Right.
And same with Crowley, too, the crazy occultist. Uh-huh. His father died when he was young and he loved his father, and his mom was like this vindictive Christian lady.
Yeah.
So like he just had to sit with that trauma of his dad dying and like dealing with his like Christian mother. Wow. And that like made him turn 180 into this satanic occultist.
Yeah.
So it's like, and some people like Tripoli, for example, they think Crowley's whack. He's lame. He was a spoiled brat, you know? So it's like that whole spoiled idea. I think it really comes down to that. Like just being spoiled and not being able to just handle life and realize, hey, it's not like happening to you. It's happening for you.
Right.
You know? So
right.
Yeah. We just need to toughen up, man. I think we all toughen up and help each other toughen up. That might solve some of the problems later down the road for the next generations.
I guess. I guess that's depends on what level of trauma, like obviously some person who's been, you know, it's not good that somebody gets sexually abused. Like that is going to hurt them forever and maybe make them grow up to do it to somebody else. But yeah, I think like, how do you create a world that's not raising sociopaths? I think you maybe make people like you mandate the way Israeli, you know, the state of Israel mandates that everybody goes into the army and they go kill Palestinians. Maybe you do that, but positively you say, but instead of killing people, it's, we're going to go help them. We're going to go be of service for 2 years when most kids are off getting drunk and getting STDs at college. You're like helping build a dam for Palestinians that need it. You know what I mean?
That's noble. Yeah. I think we should all implement that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just, but it's not going to happen when, as long as evil people, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know, man. I think the truth, you know, Palestine will be free when, you know, it will be, and it's starting to crack. And that's what, you know, we're talking about like the alien facade is starting to crack, you know, that lie over there is starting to give way. So I don't know. I'm strangely positive about where the world's going.
Yeah, me too. I've always been positive about it, man. And I think no matter what happens, you know, humans will persevere.
Yeah.
We might have to handle some very crazy times together, but I think if history has shown us anything, we will persevere. We'll get through whatever we have to get through as a human family.
Yeah. Until the day that we don't. And then that's just the infinite universe. And then we'll start, in my opinion, and then we'll start it all over again.
Start all
over. You know
what
I mean? I don't think there was any beginning or end, as Brian said earlier. It's, you know, so, well, cool, man. Well, I think we're good here, man. But, fascinating talk at 9 PM, dude. Sometimes that's when the, you know, that kind of the dark arts comes out, you know, and this kind of deep, that's when I do my best philosophizing anyways, you know?
Same.
Okay, buddy. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go check out his book, his YouTube channel, follow him, Esoteric Eddie on Instagram. And, we'll see you guys soon. Take care, Patreon. Peace out.